Hello, and thank you for listening to the first Pulmonary Therapy podcast, which has been created alongside our 2020 editorial update. My name is Christopher Votrino, and I'm the managing editor of the journal. We thought, considering this is the first podcast, it was an excellent opportunity to introduce the journal's editors-in-chief, Dr. Kai Michael Bee and Professor Rajiv Dand. They will discuss their ongoing research focus and comment on the current and future direction of pulmonary medicine.
I'm joined by Professor Rajiv Dand from the University of Tennessee, Division of Pulmonary Medicine and Section of Critical Care Medicine.
And the Chairman of Department of Medicine.
Professor Dand is the US-based Editor-in-Chief for Pulmonary Therapy and joined the journal in 2019. Professor Dand is an internationally recognised researcher in the area of aerosolized medicine, particularly with regard to the delivery of medications for COPD. So, Professor Dand, could you describe in more detail your area of expertise and current research focus?
So, thanks, Chris. I've been involved with inhalation therapy for many years, as you've mentioned, and particularly the use of inhalation devices in clinical practice. Currently, I am focusing more on patients with COPD. We have several ongoing studies looking at the use of nebulizers versus inhalers for maintenance treatment in patients with stable COPD, as well as bronchodilator therapy in patients with COPD exacerbations who are admitted to the hospital. Recently, there has been some interest in determining whether patients with COPD could use dry powder inhalers because they may not be able to generate an adequate peak inspiratory flow. I have been collaborating with several investigators to provide some guidance on this issue and have also published a review article in the Journal of Aerosol Medicine and Pulmonary Drug Delivery last year. Another area that of research that I'm looking at currently is trying to determine contamination of nebulizers in patients in the hospital who repeatedly reuse the nebulizer. We are doing a microbiome analysis of these nebulizer units and trying to determine if the contamination of the nebulizer is then transmitted to the patient.
Excellent. And on a broader scale, what do you feel have been the most important developments in your area over the past year?
One of the most important things, I think, is the development of the smart inhaler technology and adaptive aerosol delivery. So these devices are going to be very helpful in determining whether the patients are using the devices and getting the maximum benefits from the drug by appropriate techniques of use. They can also enhance the amount of drug delivered to the lung because the drug delivery is synchronized with the patient's breathing. Another area that is coming up that is very important is the lung illness induced by vaping and the study of how vaping influences various anatomical regions in the lungs and how we could perhaps make those compounds have less deleterious effects on the airways and the lung. A third important development has been the use of inhaled antibiotics for non-cystic fibrosis bronchiectasis, especially patients who have infection with Mycobacterium avium intracellulare. So several antibiotics have been tried by inhalation, including aztreonam, amikacin, and ciprofloxacin, and there have been large-scale randomized clinical trials in patients with non-cystic fibrosis bronchiectasis. Unfortunately, there have not been clear-cut evidence of benefit in preventing exacerbations in these patients with the use of these antibiotic drugs. However, a liposomal formulation of amikacin has been approved for treatment of Mycobacterium avium enterocellulare that is not responding to usual oral therapies. Another development that is of potential significance is the use of alpha-1 antitrypsin by aerosolization, and other exciting developments are related to the use of vaccines by inhalation to prevent serious infections like measles. And another area that is now being fairly widely used in clinical practice is the use of high-flow nasal cannula to give aerosols to patients who are acutely ill. The predominant feeling had been that in the presence of high flow, the aerosol delivery would be fairly low. However, recent bench studies have shown that given the appropriate techniques of administration, if one could administer aerosols with a fairly high efficiency in patients who are being treated with high-flow nasal cannula therapy.
So, moving forwards, where do you see developments in aerosolized medicine and patient care this year, 2020, and beyond?
I think this is a particularly exciting time for inhalation therapy because the applications of inhalation therapy are going on expanding. So I see that there will be more emphasis on monitoring of adherence and techniques of use using smart inhalers. I see further developments in the use of inhaled antibiotics for diseases like COPD and bronchiectasis. Also, an increasing role for biologicals for treatment of asthma and COPD. One of the areas where there's likely to be greater emphasis is the care of patients with COPD exacerbations in the hospital, and after they are discharged from the hospital, there's going to be more emphasis on bronchodilator therapy as well as the types of devices that are prescribed to these patients for inhalation. Another area that seems to be emerging is the use of inhaled drugs for tuberculosis, and there are some novel formulations that are being tested for therapy of this widespread illness.
Thank you. Very interesting. So beyond your area in pulmonary medicine, what is the most interesting and or important data you have seen released in the past year, and why is that?
So there are several areas that have seen remarkable developments. The use of antifibrotic drugs for interstitial lung disease, especially idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, has brought in a form of treatment for a disease for which we had no therapy in the past. And likewise, the use of oral therapies for patients with pulmonary arterial hypertension and lung cancer is offering new modes of treatment to prolong the life of these patients. A landmark development has been the use of triple therapy for patients with cystic fibrosis, which promises to radically change the prognosis for these patients, or at least a large majority of these patients with cystic fibrosis. Another area that I think caught my attention was the use of robotic bronchoscopy for diagnosis of lung lesions, and that is likely to find greater application in the future. There are studies that are ongoing looking at the benefits of this technique. And finally, there's now some hope for treatment of extremely drug-resistant tuberculosis with newer regimens of treatment.
Thank you. And finally, what important developments do you predict in pulmonary medicine moving forwards?
It's always hard to predict what's going to happen in the future, but looking at some of the studies that are ongoing, I suspect that we will see approval for inhaled surfactant for babies with neonatal respiratory distress syndrome, and also for premature babies to actually prevent the occurrence of this entity. The other area that is coming up very significantly is the use of point-of-care ultrasound at the bedside in both pulmonary and critical care medicine. The use of this technology will become fairly routine, and it will be an extension of the ability of clinicians to diagnose things at the bedside before, you know, getting formal radiological or ultrasonographic examinations. I am hopeful that we would have agents to stop or prevent the development of emphysema, and that there would be something that changes the progressive decline in lung function that one observes in these patients. Another area that is likely to develop more is the use of gene therapies and also CAR T-cell therapy for treating a variety of cancers, including lung cancer. And finally, I think we may have a breakthrough in a vaccine for tuberculosis.
Fascinating. Well, thank you very much for your time, Professor Dand.
You're welcome.
And thank you for those listening to the podcast. We hope you found it interesting and informative. A general journal update is available as part of the original editorial on our website. The editorial highlights various key updates, such as our recent PubMed indexing and highly read articles in 2019. But do get in touch with the journal if you have any questions at all. Contact information is available on the journal's homepage. Thank you. This podcast is associated with the manuscript Pulmonary Therapy 2020 Update and Podcast, Meet the Journal's Editors-in-Chief, authored by Kai B. and Rajiv Dand, and published in Pulmonary Therapy. The podcast has been made open access by ADIS. The podcast represents the opinions of the authors. And for a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements, please see the full text online. Copyright the authors, CC BY NC 2020.